Pastor Tim Taylor, I'd like to invite you to come to the pulpit this evening. Brother Tim has been a personal friend of my dad for a long time, and I know a friend of this church for many, many years, so we're honored to have you preach for us tonight, sir.
Thanks. I think it's on. I love the plaque. I've pastored our church for 26 years. Nobody's ever given me a plaque. Man. Yeah, I order my own. That is great. That is excellent. Brother Eric and I want to be careful about this pulpit. One guy broke it today. Did you fix it? Okay. Pastor Eric and I go back a long ways, all the way back to when I first was called to pastor a church up there in Vergennes, Vermont. I called Brother Ainsworth because something came up. I can't remember what happened, but I was new to Vermont. I called Brother Ainsworth because I had known him. I grew up in Massachusetts, and I had known him from way back. And so I called Brother Ainsworth. I said, listen, I have to go. I can't remember if something happened with my parents or something, and I was going to not be there for a Sunday, and I called Brother Ainsworth. I said, do you know anybody who could come fill the pulpit for me? He told me, I've got a guy who is just so excited to preach. He just so wants to preach. I said, but can he preach? He said, no, he does. He can preach. And so I left, and Brother Eric came. And he preached, and I hadn't been in Vermont but just a few months. And then, lo and behold, very shortly after that, I heard you had become the pastor. And then just through the years, we have just been close friends. Truly, in the ministry, I have to say that your pastor is the person I count as my very closest pastor friend. When there's something happening in our church or in my life, I know I can call Brother Eric. As long as he's not on the beach in Florida, he'll take my call. And he can call me anytime because I never go to the beach. I just. But you know what? The amazing thing about Brother Eric and Shelley is they never age. You know, we're looking at this picture. They're showing this picture of us in Mexico all these many years ago. And I'm looking at all the guys in that picture. Every one of us has changed dramatically, except you. You're still wearing the same size clothes. You still got the same hairstyle, a little bit gray. You should work for Fox News. I mean, it's amazing to me. Look at us. We've all changed except for Pastor Eric. He's just a little bit gray. What is the deal? You never shared that secret with me. Except for years ago, you told me there was that one health-changing life binge that Shelley went through with the stir-fried vegetables. Yeah, if he hasn't told you about the stir-fried vegetables, talk to him about the stir-fried vegetables. You don't even know about the stir. No, it's sorry, I let it out the bag. We were friends, yeah. All right, I'd like you to take your Bibles with me and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I've never preached a music before. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to look at verses 23 down through 29. Title of the message tonight is Leaving a Legacy of Faith. Because when I think of Pastor Eric and Shelley, I think of a couple who truly exemplify what a pastor should be. And a pastor should be a person who leads his congregation to live by faith. They not only live it, practice it, teach it, but they exemplify it in their lives. And Brother Eric, you know, he is a planner. He's the kind of guy who he makes a plan, he works a plan, he implements a plan. I remember him and I talking many years ago when they had just a few kids. We were chatting, talking about it. I was trying to get him to understand how this was happening in his life because they were just coming one after another. And as we talked about it, he told me, he says, listen, I've got it all planned out. He said, when I'm in my 60s, they'll be transitioning out as my kids and transitioning in as my grandkids. He said, I'll never go without kids sitting in my lap. I thought, now that's a guy who knows what's precious. That's a plan. Has it worked? Absolutely. Look at that. That's impressive. Actually, him and I would joke back and forth about all the kids. And I've told him many times, I envy him for all those little boys and girls. Sandra, Joe, and I, we had two. And our second one, Sandy, spent a lot of time in the hospital with breathing problems and oxygen depletion. And we decided the Lord was letting us know two was enough. But you know what? Eight, that is great. And then grandkids, who knows, innumerable. Like Abraham, descendants like the stars. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to look at verses 23 down through 29. And again, a legacy of faith. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. When you look at this text, it just gives us an overview of the faith at work in the family of Moses. It really starts with Amram and Jochebed. They're the parents of Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. And it tells us in that very first verse I read to you that they were people who had greater faith than even the fear of government. Many people are so intimidated by where they live, the people who live around them, or the government who oversees them, that they never truly live by faith. One thing I can say through all the years of knowing Pastor Eric and Shelley, I don't think they ever feared what the government would do. They faithfully preached the gospel, yet at the same time, always thoughtfully obeyed the laws of the land. I can remember all the way back when they had the little school here, and Brother Eric and I would talk about the school and different things with the ministries, and always did he strive to do things right, according to the law, making sure things conformed, but never, ever compromising his faith in the preaching of the gospel. When you look at verse 23 and verse 27, you find that those were the kind of parents that Moses had. It said, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And that passed on to the children. It passed on down to Moses. Look with me at verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt. Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. One of the great things about having known Pastor Eric and Shelley all these many years is seeing them pass their faith on to their children. It's not that their children are perfect. Nobody's kids are perfect. None of us are perfect. It's the truth, isn't it? But you can see in their children the manifestation of the faith they instilled in their children's lives. As Sandy and I were driving down to come to the meeting today, I told Sandy, I said, you know, Brother Eric and Shelley did one thing that I wish I had done with my children. He had told me that as they were growing up, when they would come to that junior high school age, He would tell each of them, you need to pick a ministry and get involved in a ministry in the church, and you need to claim that to be your ministry. Didn't you tell me that? Did I have a dream? Yeah, okay, you told me that. Wow. When they hesitate like that and I'm preaching, I'm always afraid I'm telling a lie. But it's not a lie. And we see that evidenced in their kids. It's a wonderful thing. Kids who can follow leadership. Kids who learn to live by faith. In fact, I remember years ago, Aaron and I were talking and they were getting ready to go on their annual trip to Florida. And I said, Aaron, I need you to do me a favor. I'll give you $5 if you do this. And being a young man who was taught to live by faith that he would survive this, and second, obedient to leadership, he did it for me. I said, I'll give you $5 if after your father starts driving down the road in the van, you stop and yell, stop, stop. We need to get Brother Taylor to go with us on this vacation. And he did it. I had to give him the $5. You did it, right? And so you see that Aaron had full faith that his father wouldn't kill him, because I'm sure your heart stopped when he said, stop, stop. But he exemplified obedience to leadership. When you look at this text, you find that Moses' parents were people who lived by fear. I lived by faith without fear as they raised the little children they had. Even in casting Moses out into the bulrushes, we know that they did it with great faith. Then by their faith did Moses come back home, that mom could nurse him until he could be turned over to Pharaoh's daughter. All of this is a work of faith, and this faith was passed on to their children. So not only did they have great faith, even in the face of an oppositional society and government, but we look down to verse 24, and we see that they had greater faith than even fear of family itself. Look at what took place in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Very interesting. He'd been raised in Pharaoh's house. He certainly was looked upon as part of the family. But when God got a hold of Moses' heart, he feared God more than he feared family. And this is an interesting thing in all of our lives. One thing I have observed through many years of pastoring, many, many people will lay their faith aside for their family. A dissenting husband, a dissenting wife, dissenting parents, even dissenting siblings and friends, oftentimes really alters the way people live their faith. I know that Brother Eric and Shelley, all their family does not embrace what they believe and what they practice and what they preach. But in the face of even family opposition, they stand strong. They lead their church to stand strong, to live by faith in the eyes of God and in the eyes of men. And Moses chose that. When he knew who he was and who his God was, it didn't matter what the rest of the family he'd been raised with, all of Pharaoh's family, it didn't matter what they had to say, he was going to live for the true and living God. And by faith, he stepped out without fear of the repercussions from Pharaoh. When you come down to verses 25 and 26, you see that that family had greater faith even than the fear of affliction. Look with me at verses 25 and 26 again. It says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You see, Moses chose to sacrifice all the riches that he could have embraced in Pharaoh's house because he would rather live by faith. Pastor Eric and Shelley, when you look at their lives going all the way back, he quickly touched upon how he had moved here to work at the ski area, met this beautiful young lady. She crushed his heart with love, and he went ahead, asked her to marry him, and they got married, right? Because there was some question up here. Shelley, didn't you sense some doubt whether there was actually a marriage that took place or there was just still a girlfriend? Yeah, I know, I caught that too. But they're confirming they did get married. He didn't talk about that actually in those early years. Well, maybe you might have referenced it. They went ahead and started their own business. They had a very successful business, waterbed business, furniture business. But when God spoke to their hearts, when God spoke to his heart and her heart, because you know what, through the years, listen, I've known lots of preachers. I've had guys in my own church who have said, I was called to preach, but my wife opposed it, so I never did it. Lots of men never go into the ministry, even though they feel called, because their wives hold them back, hinder them, oppose the preaching of the gospel. But Shelley ponied up. She said, yeah, let's go do it. And they stepped outside of the business where they prospered, and they began to go ahead and serve God as pastor and pastor's wife here. You see, they would have rather gone ahead and done with less in order to obey God by faith. They were willing to face whatever affliction would come. They had no idea whether the church would grow or not. They certainly prayed so. They certainly looked for God to prosper. But I can tell you as a pastor, when you start out, you step out by faith. You don't know whether the people you have sitting there are the most you'll ever see in your whole ministry, or whether God will bless and you'll see that multiply. And as Brother Eric talked about back years ago, the facility, I'm telling you, you folks are tremendously blessed to have leadership who would lead you to have such a beautiful facility in such an old building. There's lots of pastors who would never invest the time, the energy to bring the building up to really nice facilities. They would talk about all the things they wish they could do if it was only nice, rather than put in the work to make it nice. And while he talks about that, you know, he couldn't swing a hammer or run a saw, his calling is leadership, and he has done his job well. And I am sure all along through all those projects, Shelley's been right there encouraging on. You see it here. When we as pastors come here, we see a church that bands together, follows the leadership of their pastor, and you see all that God has blessed. But he had no idea in the beginning whether the building would go ahead and be finished and improved and beautiful. But he was willing to face whatever would come to obey God's call by faith. That's the kind of example we need in our lives. Listen, none of us know what tomorrow holds. We have to take one step at a time, one day at a time, by faith, trusting and believing God. They were willing to do that. Whatever affliction might come, whatever hardship might come, and every pastor faces those. People who you love, who all of a sudden you find out they didn't love you like you thought they did, and they hurt you, and it can crush your heart. But you still get up that next Sunday and you preach, and you continue to love even some of the most hard people to love, a pastor loves. It's only the miracle of God and the life of faith that enables them to face that affliction of the heart. And here you see Moses. Moses was willing to step up in the face of any affliction. He was willing to do whatever God called him to do. Not for reward on earth, but when you look in the text, rather understanding the wealth and reward of heaven. Look at verse 26 again with me. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Your pastor and his wife, they're not looking for reward here. They're looking for their reward in heaven. whether you gave them this gold-plated plaque or not. This baby, I'll bet this thing's worth all of $13 right here. No, I'm not. I know. You are blessed. God has blessed. He's not concerned whether he gets this plaque or whether he gets a brand new Corvette. Are you?
Well.
Moses was not concerned. Well, no. Moses wasn't concerned. He was looking for his reward in heaven. And that is where the pastor's reward is. The Lord teaches us, God teaches us, that our reward is not here. Our reward is in heaven. And that's where Moses was looking. Then as we go down, I want you to notice in verse 28, he had greater faith than the very fear of death itself. When you look down at verse 28, it says, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. You know, Moses had to lead the people of Israel to put that blood on the doorpost. He had to explain to them that the death angel is going to pass by and people are going to die in these homes. The firstborn, home after home after home. If you don't have that blood on the doorpost, your firstborn is going to die. Moses believed that, but he also believed that if he would put the blood on the doorpost, the death angel would pass by. Now, I'm telling you, that is a huge step of faith. He'd already seen God do plague after plague after plague. Do you think there was even the slightest doubt in his mind that the firstborn would die in all these houses? He knew it would come. But he had to step out by faith and say, I believe my God. If I will but apply the blood, the death angel will pass by. And that is the message of every pastor. You and I, we go to the hospitals and we get down and we pray with people who are going to see eternity any day, any moment. I've held people's hands as they've died. And I lead that person in faith. And I know you do as well. Understanding and trusting that when that death angel comes through, as Christ promised, he said, listen, I've gone to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I'd tell you. And I will come again and bring you to that place. Listen, I just as Pastor Eric, by faith, lead people to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, knowing they are going to die. It is appointed unto man once to die. Every single one of us will pass that way unless we're part of that one unique generation who gets raptured out. Every one of us will die. But a pastor by faith tells people, listen, yes, death is going to come. But if you will just but apply the blood, then you will live forever. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's a huge step of faith for a man to lead people to the very edge of eternity and explain to them to put their faith in the blood. Moses had that faith. The last thing I want you to see as we come down in the text is that they had greater faith than even sight. Look with me, if you would, down to verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. Can you imagine as Moses approached the Red Sea? Can you imagine as he came down leading all these people? The Egyptian army is coming. They know that death is at their door, not a merciful death, but a death at the sword. And as they step up to this water, he's got to believe that this water is going to part. Because there's no plan B. There's no second option. It's not like they're going to swim across. They're right there at the edge. Either it's going to happen or they are going to die. And it tells us that he had the faith. He had the faith and God did the miracle. That's what pastors do. They lead their church, and whatever is ahead, they say, God, take us through. Take us through. Whatever it may be. And I know this town through the years has had some really tough seas ahead. Economically, your community has gone through some really, really devastating times. You've had many of your people move away, key people, serving people, tithing families, and they have moved away. And those are deep waters for a pastor. For Brother Eric, every time he's come to those waters, he has gone to God in prayer. Lord, watch over our church. Take us through this deep time. Protect us. Provide for us. Whatever happens around us, Lord, you are greater than those circumstances. And your pastor has led you through time and time again over 25 years. That's great faith. Moses led those folks, and as Pharaoh came with that entire army, as they came down, Pharaoh looked at this and he said, I can do that. I'm Pharaoh. I've got all the magicians. I've got all the power, all the influence. Let's just charge on. And maybe by sight, he thought he could. But he didn't have the faith of a Moses. And it tells us that as they got in the midst of the sea, what happened? The waters came in upon them and drowned them. You see, listen, faith is a powerful, powerful tool in the hands of God's man. He passes that on. He passes that on to boys and girls through Sunday school, through junior church, through VBS, bringing boys and girls to youth camp, raising them up through the teen department, and then instructing them from the pulpit Sunday after Sunday. He passes on the faith that God has shown him in the Word of God, passing it on to this congregation that it might be passed on to the next generation. You have a pastor and a pastor's wife who are people who have given a tremendous legacy of faith. Just as Moses' parents, and then Moses, just has passed on to us from the very foundations of Adam and Eve, all the way up through the book of Revelation, we see men and women of God who have lived and passed on a legacy of faith. It's still going on today, right here, North Adams, Massachusetts, Greylock Baptist Church, right up here on this little side road where everybody off on street parks except for a few folks. You see a great legacy of faith. Congratulations, 25 years, and I agree with your people. I hope 25 more, because I want to see if you're going to finally change. You're going to put on a few pounds or something. I mean, I'm all set.